Radio.com Sports presents Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski, breaking down the latest in sports betting.
Tennessee wins 45-26, now 8-3 on the year. Sole possession of first place in the AFC South. So Tennessee in the over in this one. And I mean, the story on this begins and ends with one person. It's about Derrick Henry trucking this, quote, elite Colts defense that we've been hearing about much of the year when they were playing a bunch of poor offenses, 178 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Just give this win to Henry.
Well, so listen, it needs to be noted that there were 3 guys for the Colts in the front 7. 3 of their 5 best defensive players didn't play, Joe. I mean, DeForest Buckner and Danico Autry, you're talking about their 2 D tackles, and Bobby Okereke, that, you know, those guys with Darius Leonard, like, those are their best defensive players. So I think that should be noted. Now, I still wasn't expecting 35 points in the first half like they got. And I'll say this, that Arthur Smith for the Titans, he's slick, man. He is good. He sticks with
the run.
He's
getting a job, right?
He sticks with the run.
Yeah.
He always gets A.J. Brown in those slants where he looks like he's shot out of a cannon and takes it a long way. How about, like, they get down to the 1 or 2 yard line? Everybody's thinking, here comes Derrick Henry, here comes Derrick Henry. Nope, fake Derrick Henry. Tannehill walks into the end zone. Walks into the end zone. Arthur Smith is legit. This is 2 years in a row now where he is ahead of the people he's calling games against.
That's a good point right there, because how many times have we seen it in this league? New offensive scheme. Coach finally gets their opportunity, successful in year one, but in year two, Lee catches up, watches the film, especially those division games. And then, what happened? It's year two. So that's a good point. How many times have we seen that over the last couple of years? Tannehill just strolling into the end zone because nobody's on him.
A bunch. It seems like that play works all the time.
Right. Yeah, so a big win for Tennessee. Again, 8-3. They now lead the AFC South. You got the Colts sitting at 7-4. How about the Raiders, man? Like, this was just classic NFL. National TV game. They lost to Kansas City, right? They did cover the spread, but, you know, in a loss, many people walk away, oh, that's a feisty Raiders team. Man, look at Carr. He's so much better than I remember. Gruden's doing a hell of a job. Then they go to the Falcons, and it was a rout, 43-6. It's like you're waiting. Okay, Vegas, when are you going to start scoring? When are the Falcons going to give this one up? But, hey, ever since making their changes, fire the head coach, fire the GM, they've been a winning team, 43-6. Atlanta and the under in this one. Raiders turn it over 5 times. Carr takes 5 sacks.
Well, this was predictable, sort of like – the Niners beating the Rams, or at least covering against the Rams, I thought was a really good spot for them. This is a bad spot for the Raiders after the Chiefs Sunday night game and everything they put into it. So I would say this was somewhat predictable. That I didn't think it'd be that bad. I thought the Raiders might still cover, but it was predictable that the Raiders would not play well and they'd have a letdown. I just didn't think it would be that much of a letdown. And I didn't think Atlanta would be able to take advantage of it that much. No Julio Jones. No Todd Gurley. They didn't even score a touchdown the week before against the Saints. It was impressive by the Falcons, but just a total collapse by the Raiders. Really disappointing.
Yeah, let's move on to some of the shittier games of the week. Just a couple of quick notes on them. The Jaguars lose a close one. They cover the spread, but then they decide to fire their GM. 4th GM fired. Caldwell out in Jacksonville. Mike Glennon starts. Everybody's betting Cleveland, and Cleveland unable to cover the touchdown. Glennon with 2 touchdown passes. Big upgrade from Jake Luton. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot the way Luton was playing, but the Jaguars have now lost 10 straight games. They're 1-10 on the year, and more heads will roll if they actually win a game, because that means they're not going to get one of those top 2 quarterbacks. When we look at Cleveland, though, Ross, like, that's important moving forward. Like, Jacksonville, I don't know that people are going to be betting on them. Maybe they will. But Cleveland, how real are they? Or is this just, okay, we've got a team coming in, a 9-game losing streak. We're going to beat them no matter what they do, and the Browns are going to bring their A game.
Well, the Browns didn't bring their A game, but the Browns have some issues on defense. We know that in the secondary. Mike Glennon actually made a couple really good throws, give him credit, and the Jags' weapons made some nice plays. Colin Johnson, Eifert. Baker Mayfield misses wide-open dudes in the end zone. I could not believe it. Rashard Higgins, nobody was within 10 yards of him. I could not believe that. And so, look, they got it done. The Cleveland Browns are 8-3. And I let people like, oh, who have they played? They played 11 NFL teams. That's who the hell they played. What are you talking? We're talking about the Cleveland Browns. They haven't had 8 wins since 2007. You're going to talk about their schedule? They're also, by the way, in the AFC North, which is pretty legit, with an undefeated team and the defending number one seed. So it's a heck of a job by Stefanski. They got it done. I don't care about their schedule. You play who's on your schedule. I mean, you have no control. This isn't college football. So kudos to the Browns. They know what they are, by the way. They keep pounding Chubb, Hunt, over 200 yards rushing again. Impressive.
Yeah, and I got news for you. They got a couple easier games moving forward. They back-to-back weeks at the Giants, at the Jets. So they should go 10-6. Even if they lose to Tennessee, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, this should be a 10-6 year for them. But that's a huge win in itself.
Yes. Gigantic. And they're going to make the playoffs. That's huge. I mean, that is – both those things, neither one of those things has happened in a long, long time. And they'll be much, by the way, they won the last two games without Myles Garrett, maybe the best defensive player in the league, certainly up there with guys. So they're finding a way to win games where they otherwise, Joe, would never win them.
Vikings-Panthers, Vikings win 28-27. They don't cover. Carolina and the over in this one. Justin Jefferson got a couple of touchdowns. No revenge for Teddy Bridgewater in this game. Joey Sly missed a 54-yard field goal at the very end. What's most interesting here? I don't know. I guess Minnesota is in the race for second place in the NFC since they now have a record tied with the Bears, and they beat the Bears last week, and they'll have a chance to grab second place, and I guess they're kind of still in the playoff hunt, even after starting, what, 1-4, 1-5 on the year?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that was a crazy game. Carolina should not have lost that game. You can't have back-to-back defensive touchdowns on back-to-back plays and lose the game. Can't happen. You cannot have two defensive touchdowns in one game and lose the game. Matt Rhule said it was his fault after the game. I don't care whose fault it was. That was bad. That was bad by Carolina. That was a game they should have won. And, you know, when you're trying to build something like they are, every win makes a difference. You know, there's a big difference between being 5-7 and 4-8. 5-7 puts them middle of the conference. 4-8, they're all the way at the bottom, just only ahead of the Cowboys right now.
You know, I want to go back to this Patriots game because I'm looking at New England. They win this game outright against the Cardinals, and they're 5-6 on the year. And if you're in the NFC, we're talking about maybe making the playoffs for teams that are 5-6. But when it's the NFC, it is not a conversation at all. So New England wins despite Cam's late interception in that one. But Ross, it really stood out to me, you know, Arizona Cardinals for most of the year, we've been pretty impressed. They have a big game against the Rams next week. But over the last couple of games, these defenses going against Arizona have been able to limit Kyler Murray on the ground. 5 rushes for 31 yards against New England. And then last week against Seattle, it was only 5 rushes for 15 yards. That's been the game changer here.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a big, big difference. It's a terrible, terrible loss for the Cardinals. I mean, terrible. I got to say this, Joe. Cam's not good. They're not bringing him back as the quarterback next year. He's not good. I mean, he I know everybody wanted it to happen. They're not bringing him back as the quarterback next year. I would be shocked if they did that.
How do you feel about the Bills? It kind of feels like it's been a roller coaster season, and Josh Allen wasn't great yesterday, but they did enough early on to take control of the game. AJ Klein was a maniac with 13 tackles. I think he had the most tackles of anyone who played yesterday. Chargers offense struggled. 3 for 15 on third downs, but to many sports bettors and to many just observing, the story was what the fuck is Anthony Lynn doing again? Like, how many times are we going to have this conversation? Let's run the ball at the end of the game with 3 seconds left. I just didn't understand. I didn't understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, dude, what are we talking about? I mean, first of all, they called a timeout. And I want to say this. I talked to Anthony Lynn every Thursday for 2 years, I think, on my radio show back in the day. He's a really good man. He's a really good person, and I like him. But you can't call timeout and then punt the ball. You can't call timeout just to kick a field goal. You can't go for some of the fourth downs they did and not go for some of the other ones, which I didn't really understand. And then the end of the game, he said it was a miscommunication. They throw a Hail Mary and it gets caught on 4th and 27. They hand the ball off. Are you kidding me? And then Justin Herbert, even after they spike it, they're going to throw the ball. And he tries to audible, I guess, to a quarterback sneak while the O-line's pass blocking. They had the whole – if you didn't watch it, everybody needs to go back and watch the last 45 seconds of that Chargers Bills game. It was high comedy. I mean, it was some real Bad News Bears stuff. Unbelievable. Like, it was unintentionally hilarious.
Everybody's shredding Lynn, and he deserves all the criticism. And then you hear his comments afterward, like, man, this guy's just lost. I don't think he really understands what's going on. And everyone in the league, and you know, you've had a working relationship over the years with him, and like everybody says the same thing that you just said. He's a really nice man. He's a good man. Some have suggested maybe he's too nice, that the Chargers don't want to fire him and they're just going to wait until the end of the year. They're going to have a pretty high draft pick, and this is a talented roster. He's definitely 100% gone, right? And I'd have to assume, without knowing all the jobs available, this would be number one on the list just because of Herbert.
Well, Herbert and Keenan Allen and Austin Ekeler and Joey Bosa and Derwin James coming back and Melvin Ingram, they've got a lot of dudes. I mean, the number one thing you need is a quarterback. They've got an awesome one who's young and cheap. Then the number two thing you need is a pass rusher. They've got an awesome one locked up for a long time. Now, their O-line's not good, so that's where you'd have to go to work as a GM. But heck yeah, man. Are you kidding me? Chargers job is probably the most attractive one out there.
Yeah. Sitting at 3-8, New England, Atlanta, Vegas, Denver, Kansas City. So they're going to have a really high draft pick too. Your guy was back in action, only needed to put up 20 points, and it was still a rout over the Jets, 20-3. But the story with the Dolphins, I know it was the Jets offense, but again, this Miami defense, they just continue to turn the ball over. A heck of a defense. Sam Darnold back out there. He threw a couple of picks. The best part of this game, Ross, to me, was after the game when the New York media is pouncing Adam Gase, and he just didn't have any answers. Like, they're calling his ass out. He's like, no, Dow Loggins was calling the plays. No, he's calling the plays. And they're like, no, he wasn't. We were watching him. He wasn't even talking. You were calling the plays. He's like, oh, well, what part of the game? Well, yeah, I did a couple of the third down stuff. I mean, his days are obviously
nothing.
But that was the most entertaining part. Yeah.
Two important things from this game. Number one, Ryan Fitzpatrick gives the Dolphins a better chance to make the playoffs than Tua Tagovailoa. They've got a real issue there. I mean, they got to figure out what they want to do because they're right there at 7-4. They got a real issue. I have my doubts about how bad Tua's thumb really is. And I think my guess is as long as Fitz is winning and playing well, that thumb injury is going to get worse and worse. That's number one. The number two, I've been a Sam Darnold guy. Joe, I've defended him, but he's clearly getting outplayed now by Joe Flacco. Like, Flacco put up 20 points the last two games. Sam Darnold scores 3 with Mims, Perriman, and Crowder. Can't happen. Like, there's no excuse. You can't have 3, and I know the Dolphins defense is a little bit better, but you can't have 3 points when Flacco's putting up 20 every week with the same dudes.
Do you think going with Fitzpatrick in this spot, division game, you're still in the playoff race, you need a win, you're playing the Jets, you got to get that win. Do you think in some ways they were admitting mistake by going making the switch after the bye week when they did?
No. I think that Tua hit his hand on a helmet and it gave them a chance to go with Fitz. I don't think they're admitting any mistake. I think they have plausible deniability that he's not, 100%. And so they could get by with that.
And maybe that hand on the helmet will cost two of the rest of the year.
Right.
Just keeps lingering. Yeah.
And then what happened? I mean, it'll be very interesting to see what ends up unfolding there. And they're playing the Bengals. So I think he probably keeps Fitz in to make sure they win it.
Yeah, no doubt. Another win you've got to get. And then you get that one, and now you're sitting 8-4, and you're looking pretty in the AFC playoff picture. The other game, just to hit on quickly, the books cleaned up on Cincinnati covering against the Giants. But the Giants win outright. They are now 4-7 on the year. Cincinnati and the under, but something to keep a close eye on moving forward. Daniel Jones went down to a hamstring injury. Now, the Giants are saying after the game they're optimistic that he's going to be out there next week against Seattle. Tough schedule moving forward for the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing. And I don't think Colt McCoy looked very good. So Daniel Jones being out, I don't think that's a positive for the Giants at all. I know they're first place, but they're going to have a tough time scoring points, a very tough time.